your dogs, swab the decks, and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig, as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Avast, me hearties. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from somewhere off the green glowing Wi-Fi shores of South Korea's ubiquitous 5G peninsula, you've tuned in to episode 76 of Pirate Radio Podcasts, our first official Talk Like a Pirate Day network extravaganza. I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. The history of world piracy is a story whose rich, bloody tapestry stretches back thousands of years. It reeks of all things, from desperate rebellion, greed, and adventure, to hope, death, plunder, slavery, bloodlust, treachery, heroism, and legend. This week, over the course of the next approximate 90 minutes, we'll explore a number of key areas, ranging anywhere from the world of pirate cant, slang, tongue, and lingo, to many of pop culture's best-known movies, pieces of literature, music, myth, high seas romance, and pretty much a little bit of everything in between. So fasten yourselves now, and prepare to be at the ready, as we work to do our yeoman's best, delving deep into the often murky waters of pirate lore, sorting historical fact from fiction, total castaway bunk from pure gold and plunder. Well, shiver me timbers. It is indeed our first annual Talk Like a Pirate Day. Here we are, gathered at the Scurvy Dog Inn with a few of our friends and mateys. Robert Hopkins, Mad Dog Hopkins, is here at the side. Along with Amanda Thurston. Amanda out of Florida, of course. I'm not sure what city exactly. Mad Dog Aurelia, Ontario. Thanks for dropping by and being a part of things there, friends and mateys. St. Augustine is what Amanda's typing there. Can you hear me, Amanda?
Yes, I could hear you.
Okay, and Mad Dog? Looks like he's dropped out for some reason, so we'll hopefully have him here back online in just a few moments. Quite a history out of the St. Augustine region. You, I know, shared with us a few of your insights and basically the historical facts, things you were aware of. The last time you joined us with the memorial, it was more of a I think it was the Justice for Michelle was what we titled that particular show in memory of your friend who, by all accounts and indications, was murdered by her not too mentally stable husband, of course. Domestic violence, big issue, of course, and impacts so many people, unfortunately, to the point where some even end up losing their lives. That aside, you know, it's something we could revisit again maybe at some point in the future. Well, let's just quickly ask you then, has there been any developments or any progress on that front? Anything, any news as far as her case is concerned?
Not too much. There's still, you know, what are they called? Charges or pending litigation between FDLE, which is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and our local police that handled the case. So they're still court stuff going on between the two of them. Nothing's been wrapped up yet.
The thin blue line managing to keep everything pretty much in lockdown, which is interesting because if you do look at the history of piracy, it's been observed and noted by many that the reason so many were eventually to find themselves out adventuring on the high seas was as an act of rebellion against a corrupt establishment. Things were not in the greatest state of things as far as from an economic standpoint in places like England and elsewhere. So, I mean, what would you expect? You know, you've got to, desperate times call for desperate measures. Let's hear a little bit about then, if we could, and we got a lot of ground to cover here, of course, too, this week, and all kinds of great material that the world of piracy spans thousands of years, of course, across the entire planet, really, in all kinds of forms and facets or capacities. But mainly, it's been said, as long as there's been water and boats, you've had pirates. There's pirates that have been in our midst and have been out sailing the high seas. In our case, of course, modern day pirates, the high digital seas. So what about St. Augustine, though, briefly? What do you know about the region? I know you talked about how you actually managed to gain access to one of the, there's a famous, a military, I'm not sure what you call it exactly, some sort of, is it a bastion of sorts or something along those lines, a very historic location that you seem to have secret knowledge or kind of inside knowledge as far as how to be able to sneak inside at night from time to time?
Oh, yes, on the fortress.
The garrison, maybe, is a better
name. Yeah, garrison. Yeah. It's a little spot kind of outside of the fortress, but it's probably a place where guards would hang out. So it's a part of the fortress, I guess shaped like a diamond, and it's one of the outposts.
How did you manage to gain access? How many times have you visited?
Oh, several times. During the daytime, the gates are open, but sometimes you could sneak in at night, too.
Well, that's great. And, of course, mm-hmm. there's a real culture that has ensued or continued right up to the present time in a very commercial sense, I guess, that the local chamber of commerce and people involved in the tourist industry really play up the pirate angle, from what I understand. Is that not the case?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's locals who dress up as pirates and like to go around making merry, and it's a group. They just dress up and do nothing but engage people and make friends and hang out on the streets.
Well, cosplay really is a big part of things, frankly, when it comes to...
Yeah, exactly like cosplay.
Yeah. And, it's funny because some people that we've talked to have been really triggered. They see the skull and crossbones, and they immediately associate that with the Skull and Bones Society out of Yale, one of the primary recruiting grounds for anyone looking to join the CIA, among other things. The Bush crime family, of course, long having been associated with that crypto-Masonic outfit, the Skull and Bones Society. But as has been stated here on the show before, there is no monopoly. Well, frankly, I think the way things were historically, it was Calico Jack Rackham who flew the Skull and Bones, the Jolly Roger. And each pirate ship often, what they would do, they'd have their own distinct colors, basically, but they would, in approaching a potential target, fly their flag, what they felt if they figured it was a Spanish or a British ship, you know, whether it was a merchant or a naval outfit, they would raise their flag, their national flag, and just before they, when they got within firing range, I suppose, would... they would raise the true colors could be seen. So, but from what I understand, each pirate outfit had its own distinct colors that they would flies. So, speaking of Calico Jack Rackham, are you familiar with the name at all and his associates?
No, I haven't heard about them.
Okay, well, we'll get into that maybe here in just a few moments. Sure. That's where we hear the names, the Anne Bonny and Mary Read. I'm doing this all off the top of my head. By no means an expert in the world of pirate history, trivia, lore. Although that's really the point of this show, is to celebrate in some ways the history and traditions, not overly romanticize things necessarily. Although you could see things from that angle as well, too, as was stated earlier, simply because there does come a time every once in a while where, I mean, just look at the Second Amendment of the United States, for example, where some people, well, there's some who like to think that's all about going out and doing a little deer or duck hunting, but many others who are quite insistent it has a lot more to do with resisting tyrannical government, and that there does come a point in time in some people's minds where it is necessary for real change to essentially overthrow tyranny wherever it may appear in whatever form or fashion. So, yeah, Calico Jack Rackham and Bonnie Mary Read, two famous female pirates that were part of his crew. Just going to maybe hang on to that for a second and go back to this whole business of how easily some people seem to be triggered by the whole business of, you know, seeing things like the Jolly Roger traditional skull and crossbones, which once again, from what I understand, that was strictly the flag flown by Calico Jack Rackham. He was part of the Republic of Pirates sailing throughout the Caribbean region and elsewhere. I think even as far up as maybe the Carolinas, a lot of activity up there, down in Florida, as you've pointed out, of course. So, but no, the point is really the modern day and age, it's a lot of just cosplay. You don't find too many people going around lopping innocent victims' heads off just for no reason. There were some brutal pirates who were utterly merciless, but at the same time, in many cases, if you surrendered your loot and booty and didn't put up any resistance or fight, more often than not, you were just free to go on your way. Blackbeard is one classic example who we have to remember, too. History is, as it is said, written by the winners of wars, so we're not hearing much.
The loser's blood.
Pardon me?
I said, and in the loser's blood.
Well, yeah, there you go. So ancient Christianity, I think, is another example where you find this. That's all in accordance with these heretical Gnostic sects and whatnot. The only version or account of their history was provided and presented to us for the longest time on the part of the Catholic Church itself. So, yeah, you wouldn't expect they're going to portray these challengers or the heretics. All the word heretic means, of course, is free thinking, but they're not going to really paint them in all that positive light. So Blackbeard, same kind of deal, and others, of course, too. But no, there's no single account of Blackbeard or a few other of his colleagues, because they did actually, believe it or not, from what is said and talked about, work together throughout the Golden Age of Piracy, which most scholars say was a period of only about 10 years, if you can believe that. I believe from 1710 to 1715 to 1725, something along those lines, very brief period. Although, once again, piracy out on the high seas has existed for millennia. This day and age, aside from the cosplay, we find it very much occurring within the digital realm. So I'm not sure, Amanda, if you know much about that, but of course we've got the Bitcoin and different virtual currencies.
Free movies.
Sure, there you go. Yeah, via the Pirate Bay software and all kinds of things. Definitely. But once again, yeah, don't find too many people dressing up as pirates and going around cutting people's heads off with their plastic swords.
You know, no.
Really. you know, well, what we're all about, though, here, really, I guess, is part of what inspires us, too, is the Robin Hood tie-in and this whole business of, you know, hashtag, what would Robin Hood do, or WWRHD, quite simply put. And, of course, divvy the booty, share the wealth. That's really a central focus to our mandate and raison d'etre. So we got Joe Emin on here joining us today, along with a few others. Got a handful of people, not quite half a dozen, it looks like at this point, tuning in, listening to us as we stream our Talk Like a Pirate Day, episode 76 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. All, of course, for your listening and hopefully, to some degree, educational pleasure. We missed out last year. Was kind of thinking about this last night, why this was the case exactly. And really, it just, I think, came down to the fact that we had wrapped up our 9/11 commemorative special just the week before, and we're still doing our best to work out some of the wrinkles as far as show production was concerned, and, you know, the schedule and the whole bit. As it was, our September 11 show last year, we had two of our main, the feature guests that we had booked, they'd said they were going to be joining us, and one unfortunately kind of, well, you could say flaked out, but a more generous way of looking at things would be just simply that he forgot about the fact that he was supposed to be joining us. The second guy, and we're not naming any names here, people can go back into the archives and find these things out easily enough for themselves if they want. The second individual just simply completely fell off the radar and never bothered to get back in touch with us whatsoever. So that was quite disappointing. But yeah, as I recall, there was just a lot of chaos and activity at the time. It just completely went over our heads. So we're glad to do it now. It's a couple days late, of course, September 19th being the actual date that is set aside to mark what some have referred to as a spoof holiday, even taking it so far as a spoof religion kind of deal. So we're on the verge, actually, of maybe incorporating things here on this end with the efforts and the, well, we've reached out to and been in contact with some lawyers in the Gangnam region of Seoul. I'm not sure. I guess everyone's heard that, the ridiculous song that Psy put together a number of years, the big kind of one-hit wonder deal that he was, Gangnam Style. That's where they're based out. But we're not sure if we're going to kind of form things along the lines of cooperative corporation or corporate cooperative, however you want to look at it. The bottom line is there's a heavy emphasis on profit sharing all the way through on every level you can possibly imagine, whether it's the altcoin end of things or the merchandising. Artists, I know you've got an interest in artistry yourself. We've actually recently been in touch with Emily Anderson. Hope she doesn't mind us doing a little name dropping there, but she's, from what we understand, a central player in the Lost Arts Radio Project, which if you follow minds.com at all and the activity that occurs over there from time to time, there's a lot of content that they're providing and putting out there on almost a daily basis, really fresh content via Lost Arts Radio. So Emily, I guess from what she's telling us, I think she has a sister who it sounds like could be quite interested in being a part of, you know, working on putting together this artist's the catalog as far as different designs and that sort of thing is concerned. So, and Chance, of course, one of her friends there, Chance, the host of the Interverse podcast, is going to be joining us next week, just to let people know, give them a bit of a heads up there on that front. Looking forward to that one. Should be some really great synergy that we managed to generate from out of that particular meeting of the minds. But yeah, you're a bit of an artist yourself, Amanda. I know you've actually contributed. You've shared some of your work, and we'd like to use that as part of the network catalog. The idea being, of course, that any time a product is selected, whether it's a coffee cup or a t-shirt, keychain, bath towel, you name it, just fill in the blank, they select your design, that you are automatically compensated, reimbursed, rewarded, or what have you. So we've yet to work out the actual numbers, whether it's some kind of like 10%. I'm not sure if you said commission sort of deal or not, but just an acknowledgement, a way of saying, you know, thanks, way to go. Your design is proving popular. People like it, and you should be, as a result, rewarded, you know, on the basis of your efforts, creativity, and intellectual property, I suppose. So what do you think of that whole business?
Yeah, I think that sounds like an awesome idea. Definitely something we need to get on the road.
Yeah, get the ball rolling there a little more as far as that whole thing goes. So I guess we managed to give it a bit more of a boost having you hook up than I suppose with Emily's sister. See how that goes. They're based out of the Missouri region. You, of course, being there over in Florida. I'm not sure if we got Robert back yet or not from out of Orillia, Ontario. Mad Dog Hopkins, do we have you there, or are we still fiddling around trying to get the sound issues worked out?
No, I'm here. I was just transitioning to my iPad.
Oh, okay. I know. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners, just for people that maybe don't know much about you or haven't heard you in the past. I know some of the folks out there listening will be familiar with you because of your activity in the Rogues Gallery end of things. Each of the, generally, the weekly post feature after shows that we put together, that segment of things, you have been dropping by there from time to time. But yeah, if you like, feel free to introduce yourself.
I use a handle MadDog780CA on every single site. It's universal. Everything I use, whether it's Mines, I've been on Mines, but I haven't been active. I basically run a Minecraft server in my free time, among other things. I try and help out Jaffe, among other individuals, with what they need, whether it be the Rogue Gallery or other things, other obligations, you could say.
A helpful pirate? Oh, imagine that. Who would have ever thought pirates could actually be helpful? Not just bloodthirsty and, you know, full of vengeance and wrath, but also sometimes coming to people's aid. So, well, this is the Robin Hood then again, too, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So maybe that makes
you're just
sense.
Those are just the Hollywood pirates, yeah. Not the real ones.
Right. Exactly. You know, and it's interesting, too, you should mention that, because a lot of I think it's this, well, Shiver Me Timbers, and what was these other expressions? The that whole business with the pirate, the lore and the lingo, the way of, you know, we're expected to speak as pirates, that came out of Disney's movie, I guess. The character that played Long John Silver, that's something that he cooked up, from what I understand. But Robert Louis Stevenson, Treasure Island, you know, Shiver Me Timbers, Yo-Ho-Ho, and a Bottle of Rum. It's kind of like the Dracula story, I guess, for a lot of what we see now in contemporary, the vampire subculture, carry over from Bram Stoker's interpretation or just kind of creative ideas and vision as far as what a vampire really should be. Same kind of deal, as you say, Amanda. It's Hollywood kind of, I'm not sure if he's dictating necessarily, but programming, I suppose, really.
Ideology.
Yeah, well, a little bit of that. And the portrayal is, yeah, these mm-hmm. violent, bloodthirsty, and unscrupulous maniacs, which there was that end of things for sure. And there were some really violent and notorious individuals that were pure psychopaths. But when it comes right down to it, you compare people even like Charles Manson to any head of state, really, that you want to look at around the world. For the sake of argument, let's assume Manson had a hand in half a dozen murders. How many people has foreign policy, you know, how many deaths has the foreign policy of any government around the world led to? In particular, let's say the USA or the state of Israel. So, I mean, that kind of puts things in a little more context when we're talking psychopathy and maniacs and death tolls, casualties, and just, you know, strict number, body counts. But we've got a lot of talking points here, folks. including, not too many people know how Talk Like a Pirate Day actually originated, but from what our research tells us is that there were a couple, I'm not sure, I don't think they're privateers, maybe buccaneers or freebooters, and we want to make a distinction between those three because it was only the privateers that worked for the crown. Some people, once again, triggered by the fact that, oh my God, you're in collusion with the crown. No, no, only the privateers carrying their letters of marque were in collusion with the crown. People like Sir Francis Drake, you know, a number of other, William, Captain Kidd was another who is an interesting story there because he went from working, I guess, in the capacity of a privateer, serving the crown to becoming known more as a pirate of sorts. So that's quite something. But Slappy and Chum Buckets were playing racquetball back in 1995, these two friends. And in the midst of things, the game got a little heated, maybe just all in good fun and jest as well, though they started berating and insulting each other with these, referring to each other as slimy bilge rats and that sort of thing, liver-lilied scum sucker, or however you want to put it. So just all these kind of put-downs. In fact, we have a list here, if I can track it down here, in our archives, and there's a whole number of different insults, the bilge rat being one of the most popular, but that, of course, was a rat living in the bilge of a ship. Either of you know where the bilge is located?
I have no idea.
That's the lower portion of the ship.
It's
pretty nasty down there. So there's also the brig, too, let's not forget. And I'm not sure if all ships have galleys, probably just the galleons, which were a little larger than some of the others. That's, of course, the eating, like a mess hall, eating quarters. All ships had cooks and whatnot, of course, too. But the bilge rat is considered the lowliest creature by pirates. Many actually took to eating the animals to survive. So you got to remember, the life of a pirate was not always easy. It's sometimes glamorized and romanticized via Hollywood, but that simply was not the case. Things could get pretty rough and rugged at times. Scurvy, of course, as we all know, was a big issue, and that until they figured out things like vitamin C, lime, and lemon were helpful to maintaining their health. A lot of, apparently, lime was added to the grog that they drank, I guess introduced first by the British Navy, where they didn't want their men to be too overly intoxicated, so they would water things down with just a dash of rum and then add some lime as well to work on doing what they could to help better maintain their health. Interloper, okay, is another one. Don't know how offensive that is exactly, but one that trespasses on a trade monopoly as by conducting unauthorized trade in an area designated to a chartered company, a ship used in unauthorized trade. Landlubber, that's a classic, of course, too, as most of us are aware. Picaroon would be a scoundrel. So you might want to make a note of that. Picaroon, that's a good one. Well, press gang, not sure if that's assign that scoundrel to the press gang. Captain Sinclair, what's the way of putting it, I guess. A company of men commissioned to force others into service, such as on a vessel, specifically a pirate ship. Surgeons, let's not forget. Maybe something that not too many people were aware of, but they often, because they're in such shortage, and pirates often were getting wounded or sick, that surgeons would more often than not find themselves kidnapped. So doctors were a rare commodity and really held in high regard, of course, and a necessity on any, not just pirate ship, but any naval ship or vessel that sailed out on the high seas. Rapscallion, I think we've all heard that a time or two. Scallywag, there's another classic. A strumpet. Amanda, are you familiar with that one? Ever heard the term strumpet?
Oh, yes.
Do you know what it means?
I think of a young girl, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. And wenches, too, let's not forget. I guess, well, wenches is just a common way of referring to women, but a lot of times a wench could be a prostitute as well. So I think lassie or lass was a little more polite way of referring to a woman.
A dressing woman, yeah.
Yeah, but strumpet, a promiscuous woman, a female prostitute. So yeah, strumpet would be a little more harsh than wench, no doubt about that. But I don't know if I'd want to be referred to as either, frankly, if I was a woman. Swashbuckler, of course, which is not a put-down. That was a... We all want to be swashbucklers, don't we? An adventurous, romantic swordsman who is also chivalrous, witty, and generally has a sense of humor. The term was coined in the 16th century when men used a buckle or small shield in one fist opposite their sword. There you go. We learn something new every day, they say, so put that in your... we might want to make a note of that in our little pirate journals. See if we can maybe use that over the course of things here. Once again, Captain Long John Sinclair was the one who really figured it was about time that we worked on better brushing up on our pirate lingo, history and lore, and doing what we could to separate fact from fiction. So just a few days ago, of course, September 19th, the official Talk Like a Pirate Day, marking the what some would refer to as a spoof. What is the word? Well, parody, of course, but paradical holiday or religion. That's I think it's pushing it to refer to it all as a religion. The thought I never completed earlier, though, and the two of you can respond to this if you like. Maybe Mad Dog, you have some profound thoughts on the matter, but. Regarding the whole incorporation end of things and this business of the advice that we are getting via our lawyer friends up in Seoul. Well, for example, Free People of the Cosmos, Tom Schaefer has founded that project. You can find him over on Minds.com as well. The way that he put things together was that it's a spoof religion is what he's calling the whole thing, and that way you're able to avoid paying taxes. And I think he refers to his members as freeples. The only prerequisite for membership, just don't be a jerk. That's the only thing that he has laid out there as his main concern. Treat others with mutual respect and don't be a dick. So, but what do you think of that, Mad Dog? Is there any way, do you think, that we could be able to convince these lawyers and the world what we're really working on putting together here is a spoof religion, or is that maybe kind of pushing a little too far?
I would say if you want to try spoof religion, I could get in major crap for saying this, but if you want to spoof religion, spoof Scientology, imagine that. Their policy is if you look into us, we look into you 10 times as much. That's their policy.
Right.
You're not doing so good.
It's called the fair game policy, is I believe what it's referred to as. It's what they call it there, the followers and disciples of Lord Zeno. The point I'm going to make here, though, is I don't understand why there's so much attention and energy, as interesting and intriguing as it is, and believe me, I've looked into it and tried to study up on the history and practices of Scientology as best I can, but there's only something like about 100,000 members, whereas compared to something like Islam, which in my mind is far more of a threat to common sense, Western values, and just in so many different ways as far as, well, frankly, they're out to convert, as is Scientology, it's a religion.
Well, it's a political movement.
Yeah.
If you look at it as a political movement,
yeah,
there's not much more else to say.
Oh, I know. So that's, yeah.
Using this religion to get political gain. So why not? I think piracy should be a religion. Well, so you go for it.
Well, hey, you know, it was a kind of a counter, I'm not sure if insurrection is the best word. They definitely were outlaws, though, for sure. And a lot of times, there was no difference between these privateers, frankly, and the freebooters or the buccaneers. People like Blackbeard, Calico Jack, Rackham, or... Well, Captain Kidd would maybe a little different story because he was based out of, I believe, more the Europe, the Spain region and so forth, Mediterranean and whatnot. But the fact is, yeah, well, I mean, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. So, but there was, yeah, a great deal of concern for some time as this insurrection grew. These people, they were lovers of freedom and liberty. There's no doubt about that. So they did stand and represent a threat to the establishment and the standing order. So in turn, the powers that be were out to do whatever they could to put them down and, you know, largely succeeded, I would say. They couldn't totally stamp out everything, the whole, you know, the spirit. You can kill a person, but its ideas are a lot harder to eliminate. I guess that's where it comes down to the war of ideas. But, you know, the spirit of rebellion lives on and I think is alive and well, even in 2017. So let's see what other talking points we have here exactly. We could go into this whole business once again. Calico Jack Rackham, I'm not too up on the particulars other than the fact that he teamed up with Anne Bonny, who was, from all accounts and reports, a very bonny lass, quite popular with the men. She became his lover. They headed out onto the high seas. I believe it was in the Caribbean region, but also maybe off the Carolina coast and down through the Florida region where you live and are based out of St. Augustine. Is that on the western? That's on the western side.
Oh, no, it's the east coast, the northeast, the first coast. And actually, yeah, there was a bunch of trade routes between us and the Carolinas. We're a stopping point.
Sure. So you've got all kinds of contraband and goods and products that are being traded, and the king... In that day and age, of course, the crown and the authorities.
We have Menorcan roots.
Pardon me?
I said the city has Menorcan roots. There's a bunch of Menorcans that still live here today, too.
And what is a Menorcan, then, exactly, for people that don't
know? Kind of like the Spaniards. It's a, you know, a particular part of Spain.
I see. Okay. Just checking up the streaming chat. End of things. Delcroix, welcome. We'll post the pod tomorrow. Well, that's great, Delcroix. Although, just to be clear, to let our listeners know, we prefer to promote the post-produced Podomatic, the MP3 audio end of things. You can, you know, you're free to do whatever you like, of course, because once we put this together, it's out there for the whole world to hear, although in its most pure and raw form, which, frankly, as you might imagine, I prefer, and the captain does as well, to do a little bit of work as far as cleaning things up from an technical and sound quality standpoint. It just helps to present to the world a more kind of professional type image rather than giving away how much of a ragtag kind of operation and motley crew we have assembled here on a week-to-week basis. I do find it quite fascinating, though, how it is that we do manage to bring together and not only have... you know, feature guest book on a, you know, semi-regular basis at least. But when we do these sort of impromptu shows like today's, and hopefully we'll find this again once again with the Operation Secret Santa 10-day extravaganza that we have coming up starting mid-December, the magic that occurs, how people just kind of show up from out of nowhere, basically coming from out of the woodwork, you know, volunteering their time and effort and energy to helping things sail along a little smoothly. People like the two folks that we have here with us today on Skype, you know, Mad Dog, 780CA, a.k.a. Robert Hopkins, and that is a great surname, of course, Hopkins, sailing along with the Robin Hood. A perfect, more than just a swabby, not quite a powder monkey either. The powder monkey lighting the cannon, taking care of the cannon, but it's a little more than that, I would say, for Robert Hopkins. What's your exact title then, Robert, on the Robin Hood? Have you figured that out? Something better comes along. Thank you, Amanda, just to let you know, of course, it's not to leave you out of the picture, giving you credit. You know, you're helping to make today's presentation what it is as well, too. So it's great to have your contributions out there for people to enjoy and appreciate as well. Now, we got you over on the Pirate Radio Network channel. Don't we have some sort of title that we've attributed to you or that you had selected and were wanting to basically be known as?
I think I was the gatekeeper.
You are the quartermistress. That's right. How does that work exactly? For people that don't know, maybe you can fill them in. What does a quartermistress do?
Let people in the room?
Yeah, I guess you hold the keys. You hold the keys.
Yeah, I hold the keys to the, what is it? The other room that we were talking in.
Well, there's all kinds of rooms here. So, in fact, that reminds me, we have, we can talk a little bit about the ships here, but the types of ships, barkadeer, it's a small pier or jetty vessel, also a bark. Well, bark is a little bit different. A sailing ship from 3 to 5 masts. Brigantine, it's a 2-masted sailing ship. But this is just the ships themselves. Galleon, of course. Cog is a small warship. Just another cog in the wheel. I guess, yeah, you just, the flotilla, the cog there, just one of those little cogs in this huge flotilla. A galley, a hulk. A galley being a low, flat vessel propelled partly or wholly by oars. A hulk. It was a hulk of a ship. A hulk that it's been gutted but remains afloat. They were often, their hulk to turn them in to a hulk so that they could be repurposed from their original employ. It goes on further than that. I'll spare people the details. Jolly boat, long boat, lugger or luger. Not sure how that's pronounced exactly. Pink pinnace. Okay, so my God, just all kinds of different ships. Pretty much, I hope the captain doesn't expect us to be experts on these matters. The fact of the matter is that we've just been so focused on putting the weekly feature content out there. That's been enough for us to really have to focus on rather than doing all this extra pirate homework on the side. So, but it's definitely something that we need to, and it's great and valuable that we're able to brush up on. So I've seen a few books here in the ship's library, so I should make more of an effort to definitely do that. Here we go, the anatomy of the ship. This is the one we're looking for. Aft, ballast, beam. Shiver me timbers, let's not forget, too. That, either of you, do you know where that originated from, or can you think what sort of context you might use that expression in?
Probably during a hurricane.
Yeah, that's right.
I think of the boats falling apart, like something pretty intense would be happening.
Yeah.
The boat rattling and shaking while you're trying to sleep.
There you go. Sure. Yeah, you bet. It's just shaking like all hell, and you don't know if it's going to completely fall apart or not, but pretty intense situation for sure. So, the ballast, amidship would be the middle of the vessel. Ballast, heavy material that's placed in the hold of a ship to enhance stability. Beam, bilge, well, the bilge we've already discussed, of course, not a great place to be. There's no mention here, not yet, don't see the brig. Either of you know what the brig was for? what that was all about?
Locking people up. That would be like a jail cell.
And I guess with the keys that you have, you would be the person to kind of help oversee that after any alleged bilge rat was apprehended and sent to the brig. Broadside. Oh, yes. Broadside. You would not... Never good to be broadsided. Never good to be hit broadside either by cannon shot or volley or just another ship, of course, too. The bulkhead partition or dividing wall within the hull of a ship. Crow's nest. Everyone knows that one, don't they? Mad Dog, you know where the crow's nest is, don't you?
I don't think so.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Think up high.
Yeah, think up high.
Or the little basket.
There you go. Yeah, the top of the mast there.
I didn't know that. All I know is that I used to see pirate ships, but I have no knowledge of what things are named or anything. Literally.
Scale up the mast through the ship's rigging. And
gotcha.
Get as high up there as you can just to keep a clear lookout on things and see what you have coming your way. We're always, of course, here on the Robin Hood doing our best to keep a keen lookout for the Kraken, that being our primary foe. I was thinking about this just yesterday, actually, too. This all, for me at least, from an etymological or the wordplay end of things, ties into this business of levies. Levying a tax or levying a fee. Nice Jewish name there, just coincidentally, of course. Then you've got the Levant, which once again, speaking of nice Jewish people living over there in the Levant, although there is a lot more folks and, you know, real Semites, such as, the Phoenicians. I think they would be pretty Semitic. And Lebanese and others. I'm not sure if Syria would fall into the Levant or not. Iraq, Iran, who knows, ancient Babylon, which I guess that would have been Iran. So Egypt, of course, there, the Levant, the eastern edge of the Mediterranean, western part of the Middle East, I suppose, is another way of putting it, perhaps. So you have Levy, Levant, and then you also have Leviathan. Now, the Leviathan, I don't know how that's any different from the Kraken. This giant, legendary sea monster lurking in the dark depths.
Leviathan was a mythical monster.
Yeah, I'm with Robert on this one.
The water. That's what I, you know, again, this is somewhat what it's turned out. I don't know. From what I've learned, I think it's a mythical serpent that controls the water. That's my guess.
Okay, but I'm not clear on how that's distinguished from the Kraken exactly.
I don't know. That's just a guess because you mentioned a name that was. I thought that's what it meant. That's all. I thought that's the origin of it.
You thought they were the same?
I think. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, the Leviathan and the Kraken seem pretty similar, don't they?
Leviathan, it was, I think, a mythical water god, I think.
Uh-huh. It was more of a beast.
I'd have to look it up.
Well, you could just...
Something like that.
Yeah, just maybe...
I'll look it up.
Sure. Yeah, there you go. A little co-production effort there on your end, and maybe get back to us there in just a couple minutes. So, Gangplank. The Gangplank being a board or ramp. And you might want to mute yourself there, too, as well. Let's not forget Mad Dog as you, embark on your investigative journey and online inquiry. So, but the Gangplank being a board or ramp used as a removable footway between a ship and a pier. Essentially, that's what you use to board the ship via the dock. Gangway, a passageway along either side of a ship's upper deck. Let's see what else. Helm, hold, hull, Jacob's ladder. Wow. A rope ladder with wooden rungs used to access a ship from the side. How about that? Keel?
Check it out. This is also a body piercing, too.
Leviathan? Or pirate?
Oh, no, the Jacob's ladder. That's also a term used in body piercing. But Oh, yeah, the Leviathan, I think, is more like a big fish or a dragon. There's an actual fish it kind of resembles that. It's a deep-sea fish. It's very rare to find. This order originally went
out on August 21st, 17th. It actually is.
So, like, it's a real... The Kraken would have, like, eight legs. It's a different creature.
Wow. So here's the, the question then being, who would win in the fight? The Leviathan or the Kraken? That's my question.
We're going to have to check the statistics and see on that one.
Yeah. Superman or Batman, that kind of deal. So.
Yes, absolutely. It's a pretty good toss-up. They're both pretty awesome.
Okay, so here we go. We got some pirate jokes here. Some of them are pretty corny, and... I'll just do my best here, but I'll maybe save the what I feel is the best one for last. So here, brace yourselves. A pirate goes to the doctor to get moles checked out on his back. The doctor says, there's nothing to worry about. They're benign. Quite thrown aback, the pirate looks at the doctor and says, oh, shiver me timbers. I looked at him this morning. There'd only be three. I'm not sure if you get that or not. They're benign. He's like, oh, this morning there only be three. It's these pirates, what is it with them? They don't understand English, I guess. So, hey, here's one for you. Well, both of you, I guess. Why don't pirates go to strip clubs? They already have all the booty. Pretty cheesy stuff. That's not my favorite type of joke. Like I said, I'm trying to save the best one I could find for last. What's a horny pirate's worst nightmare? A sunken chest with no booty. It's their worst nightmare. Why did the Buccaneer ask for a mortgage at 3.142% interest? He wanted the pirate. All right, folks. Let's see. Here's a classic. This has already been, as you know, every time we have a new guest join us on the Robin Hood, in accordance with the ship's articles, we ask that they provide or present some kind of pirate angle, reference of some sort, in order to gain passage and admittance so that we can welcome them and bring them on board to journey about, not just throughout the region of Skullport Harbor, but beyond as well and out more into the open waters over the course of our weekly 90-minute adventure. So two people have already used this joke. I can't remember which ones exactly, but I do remember hearing it twice. But here we go. A pirate walks into a bar. A bartender says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. What happened? You look terrible. What do you mean? I'm fine. Bartender says, what about that wooden leg? You didn't have that before. Well, says the pirate, we were in a battle at sea. A cannonball hit my leg, but the surgeon fixed me up. I'm fine, really. Yeah, says the bartender. What about that hook? Last time I saw you, you had both hands. Well, we were in another battle, aboard the enemy ship. I was in a sword fight. My hand was cut off. The surgeon fixed me with this hook. I feel great, really. What about that eye patch? Last time you were here, you had both eyes. Well, says the pirate, one day, we're out at sea. Some birds are flying over the ship. I looked up, and one of them shat in my eye. So? Couldn't have lost an eye just from some bird shit. Ah, said the pirate, I really wasn't used to the hook yet. A little bit on the cheesy side, but I don't know. Do either of you have any better ones?
Oh, no, I'm terrible at jokes. I was going to say we did find a little bit more on the Leviathan, and I found a fish that I think it looks like. It's called an oar fish. So that's something pretty cool and worth checking out. O-A-R, like what you would paddle with.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure if you said, oar fish or orifice. You say orifice.
Or fish. Yeah.
Okay. Which orifice? And take it down a weird road for sure. So looking over the comments here in the streaming YouTube chat area. And about half a dozen folks that have joined us here today. So that's great. Lord High Admiralty. Right here. Watch the doctor. Lodalum and Grog. Maybe Ether. Pirate Joe Eminon seems to be moment, which enjoying himself today as we share with folks out there in the listening audience world, episode 76 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. However, International Talk Like a Pirate Day. We missed out on last year's event, but we're more than happy to present to you what we're working on putting here together today, trying to better get to the bottom of things and work on clarifying as much as we can in the short period of time that we have allotted for this week's feature segment, 90 minutes. We only have about another half hour or so really to work with here. So if there's anything out there that you in the YouTube streaming area or Mad Dog, yourself or Amanda would like to just kind of share with people in a pirate-related sense, nothing to do with, as one of our Skype friends who joined us just in the lead-up to things today, the pre-show kind of, as we did our little sound and audio tech check, he wanted to get into Revelations, what the hell was it, Revelations something or another, and September 23rd.
Revelations 12.
Revelations 12, the end of the world. Do you know how many times the end of the world has been predicted?
My guess, 1,329. That's
quite a lot of times. Many, many times.
I like to say the world doesn't end, just your world ends.
Ding, 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 ding. Winning.
There you go.
There you go. That's right. The world ends when you die, people. Okay? Checking out. Upward and onward. You know, leveling up. So that's, I think, about the extent of things. So see you later, world. It's been nice knowing you. You know what? Maybe I'm going to fly off to another planet now, all right? A new adventure. So let's not get too, you know, que sera, sera. Hundreds and thousands of times. I remember just briefly as a kid, and this will provide an interesting segue because I can share another pirate-related kid story, which is quite interesting. But that I was pretty freaked out, man. These Jehovah's Witnesses, as I recall, back in the mid-70s had predicted the end of the world, and it kind of came, and kind of all culminated and led up to a whole lot of nothing, really. Came and went, but they sure, I think, managed to scare the hell out of a lot of people for no reason at all, other than to promote their phony pseudo-religious agenda. I guess both of you are probably not quite old enough to remember that one. That was, I think, as I said, around
I remember 1999 and 2012 and just other random ones that didn't, you know.
Where was Jesus in 2000?
Have so much built up.
Wasn't Christ supposed to return in 2000? Wasn't that story kind of being promoted heavily for years? Oh, yeah, 2000, you know, he's coming back.
Just and it came and went.
Keep hanging on, folks, and
trust us. Jaffe.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch a movie, Ghostbusters 2, look at the start of it. There is a prediction. The first 10-20 minutes, and the lady says, an alien told me the world will end February 14th, 2017, Valentine's Day of this year.
One day they'll be right, I guess, right? One day, eventually. So in the meantime, just keep one people day. Hanging on there and on the hook. Well, George Carlin, I guess, referred to it as one of the biggest bullshit industries that there ever was. So spirituality and our own personal relationship with whatever we want to call it, the Almighty, the Force, the Universe, the Cosmos. The word logos does mean the word, so that's my kind of way of looking at it, frankly, is, you know, just word. It's not the Bible. That's the little small w. The big W word is the logos, which is the cosmos, so we were discussing, though, some childhood memories and would like to share with you just a brief story about how when I was a kid of about 9 or 10 years old, I was out visiting an old lady who was located just, her house was right on the shores of a local well-known lake we had based out of the central interior region of British Columbia, where I spent a number of years growing up and referred to and kind of identified with as being my hometown for quite some time. Anyways, out at her house having tea and cookies and a little bit of conversation with the parents and whatnot. At the end of the event, she invited me up to her attic. I think my dad came along, joined us, and she had all these old books she was giving away. I guess she knew she wasn't going to be around on the earth for much longer and felt, you know, why not give a book away to this little guy? So, and the one I ended up choosing was actually The Black Arrow, if you can believe that. Robert Louis Stevenson. I don't have that book anymore, but I do remember choosing the book, and it was in my little library there for a number of years as I grew up, though. Quite a classic text, and it was an old edition, too. If I had it today, it might actually be worth a little bit of money, I would imagine. So I just reflected on that the other day and thought in the lead up to today's show, that would be an interesting story to share with people. Robert Louis Stevenson, of course, known for, well, The Black Arrow is not probably one of his, it's not his best known book. His best known, most would agree, is, of course, Treasure Island. Kidnapped is another, but the time frame exactly, the late 19th century, I believe, somewhere in that area when he was active and busy putting together all sorts of different kids-type adventure books and the like. Quite a renowned author, of course. Anyone you mentioned, Treasure Island or Robert Louis Stevenson, most people know what you're talking about. So that leads us maybe to our next topic and area of discussion, movies. The Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. I mean, how much longer have they done? Have they wrapped that up? Is it like the fifth or sixth movie they've done now? I'm not sure how closely all of you have been following the franchise. I'd love to actually sit down, as with, you know, things like Star Wars or Star Trek, these other well-known movie franchise projects that have been, Hollywood has really done its best to cash in on as much as humanly possible. It'd be great to, though, sit down and just kind of go through the whole series and try to pick up on and study and really kind of work on getting clear on things as far as trivia is concerned. And I saw a few blooper reels just the last day or so, which were quite entertaining. Video games, even. There's an Assassin's Creed. There were a few Assassin's Creed videos I came across just last night referencing and having characters actually worked into the game. Blackbeard was one of them. Mary Reed and Bonnie were others. Not sure about Calico Jack. He should have been there because he was all part of their gang, essentially. Do any of you know much about the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise or any thoughts on books or popular culture, the impact that the history of piracy and all of its formats and shapes and facets has had on, you know, our contemporary modern psyche? There's a lot to be said for it, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They just put out another movie recently. I'm not quite sure if it's going to be the last one or not. I haven't seen it yet.
The name completely escapes me, actually. The Black Pearl and, geez, you know, I couldn't even start to tell you half the titles, frankly. Of course, it was kind of embarrassing, but we're not all pirate experts here, unfortunately. That's just the way it goes. Swabbies, to some extent. That's another great little catchphrase, as in swab the deck. It's a term of affection, though, really. It's not meant as a put-down or insult by any means. People like Powder Monkeys, of course, too, were the young fellows that usually would work on helping to keep the cannons in good working order and there, I guess, to light them when they were set to fire. So I don't think none of us are total landlubbers. That's for damn sure. So Mad Dog, any thoughts on popular culture, the impact of the pirate character, whether it's the archetype, the stereotype or prototypical type image people have in their minds? What are your thoughts? Popular culture.
I'm not sure about the culture, to be honest. I haven't researched it too much. I'd have to do some more digging on that. I've heard some of the terms in my life. Looking at pirate history, I haven't researched it in my life kind of thing. That's why. So I'm kind of drawing a blank, Jaffe.
Well, you have to work on getting a little more up to speed on things, and that's the whole purpose of today's show. So maybe this will give you the incentive and a little of the inspiration that you might be needing. You and any others out there in the listening audience, whether those who have managed to tune into today's live presentation or eventually end up downloading the show that we put together here. So, let's see. Streaming right now, a little bit of Captain Jack Sparrow, some of his best-known quotes and scenes from the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. Errol Flynn, Captain Blood. I'm not sure if either of you are into the classics, but that was a great movie and very well-known. Any Hollywood or movie buff will probably be familiar with the title, Errol Flynn and the Captain Blood film. It's interesting, too, that he actually played Robin Hood as well. Don't know if that was just on one occasion or several. He did that, the swashbuckling sort of adventuring, not quite a cutthroat. I don't believe he was more, he wasn't the cutthroat type. He was more the chivalrous dandy, witty and a little more charm than ruthlessness to the man's character. So, which, once again, is something that all depend on what sort of pirate you were dealing with, you could quite easily find. So, yeah. And the fact that we have ourselves here incorporated the Robin Hood, not just image, but also profit-sharing philosophy into our enterprise, I think that is... hopefully it proves to be quite auspicious here over time as things continue to progress and we build momentum. Once again, I think this Operation Secret Santa that we're working up towards here come mid-December, I got a good feeling about things as far as managing to better coordinate the campaign and really work on helping to bring about some decent quality synergy to things. So, yeah, once again, folks, hashtag WWRHD. What would Robin Hood do? There was some early criticism that we actually received from some people, and you're always going to get criticism. So deal with it, folks, right? You know, doesn't matter. What did Aristotle say? The only way not to be criticized in this world is to do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But people, some, one or two people, mostly as I recall, one actually, not naming any names, felt that it was not really the best approach to kind of, you know, confuse or mix and muddle the, blur the lines basically between the world of piracy out on the high seas and that of Sherwood Forest, the Merry Men, Robin Hood and his band of outlaws. That whole way of approaching things, he did not feel was not the best way of going about packaging our show as far as, you know, the branding end of things or what have you. But from my standpoint, and I know from others here on the crew, the captain as well, and really when it comes down to it, the captain is the one who's calling the shots until there is a mutiny. And really the captain is the only time he really took charge and served as supreme dictator was in the heat of battle, from what I understand, based on the research that I have done in the lead up to today's show. So, but what do you think, to you, that whole idea of the blending, the kind of, the synthesis, really, I guess is the best word, of this concept or idea of piracy out on the high seas? Got a little bit of digital piracy going on once again these days in the modern age, and that of Robin Hood and his band of merry men and the spirit of all that entailed. Is that a little too much, or are you able to kind of, the two of you, get your heads around that one? Did we totally drop out of Skype?
Oh, no, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking.
You're not sure what position to take on the issue, just kind of reserving judgment or not really?
Yeah.
I see. Well, feel free. I mean, maybe you don't want to be too critical on air. That's fine. But, feel free. You're not going to be tossed overboard or anything if fed to the sharks, marooned, or made to walk the plank. Cat of nine tails, that's one of the keel hauling. Let's not forget that one, too. Folks who cross the crew, any pirate ship and operation, all kinds of ways of dealing with the traders. either among us or the folks that aren't too cooperative. But no, you've got, you know, total free rein to share your thoughts, whatever they may be. You just don't have any opinion, frankly, on the matter?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got opinions. I was trying to, I don't know, where to start.
Well, we got a few minutes if you want to. We've only got about 10 more, maybe 15 more minutes. We're probably going to carry things along here today, and then we'll shift on over to the Rogues Gallery.
Well, I've been on a little pet project myself. There's been the whole thing about tearing down Confederate monuments, and, you know, I was raised in the South around them, and the ones that are here in St. Augustine locally, they're more or less like, you know, monuments to people who were buried in mass graves and their mothers didn't have anywhere to remember their sons, like nowhere to have a grave or anything. So they had bake sales to have this thing built for a place to leave their flowers. And at the top it says our dead. There's a cross on it and the list of 40 men, you know, just their names. And being that they're Spanish, they're not even necessarily white people because, like I said, we have Menorcan roots. So I've been passing around a petition to keep our, you know, history, because St. Augustine is a historical city and people would be saying things like, move it to a museum. I'm like, do you not realize that the entire city is? We have the fort. We have so much history. It is what makes us us. It would be like, you know, cutting off our nose to spite our faces. So, I mean, that's a project that's been kind of close to my heart. And it's really, really sad that people can't just respect each other's, you know, their monuments or tombstones. If I came to your house and said, hey, you need to change the color of the paint on your wall, I don't like it, you know, that would be offensive. So that's kind of my stance on that. Anyway.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just not too sure how that, I'm trying to find the tie-in exactly to the whole pirate angle or Robin Hood and how that, you know.
I think everyone should fly their flags, you know, high and be happy of their skull and crossbones or whatever it is they choose to fly. I mean, Confederate flags were all of a sudden, you know, labeled as a hate symbol, and so.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. I'm totally on board with what you're saying, for sure. And this whole, they call them social justice warriors. Well, moral, they're just, speaking of bilge rats and the like, and, you know, scurvy dogs and scoundrels, well, that's, even that, I think, is, you know, being a little too polite when it comes to these golem-type, you know, wild-eyed, enraged lunatics. So, exactly. I mean, you've even had lots of, we are getting a little off track here, but, and it's something I would, you know, we could do a show on quite easily. In fact, we're building things up to the point here now. We'd like to do a midweek muck around. We tried a little bit of that when we had Pirate Larry on board last year, basically. Put a few of those kind of type shows together where we tackle current issues and whatnot during, you know, the midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what have you. But we just need more help with the post-production end of things, which would include compressing the files and going in and doing a little bit of editing as far as the technical and, you know, audio, electronic interference and, you know, that sort of thing goes with, you know, levels and whatnot. So until we get that with a few more hands on deck, people that are committed to getting the product out there that we can share with listeners and the Patreon content as well, that I'm just kind of myself here as the ship's chief communication officer left quite really with a lot on my plate, feeling pretty swamped, frankly, and burdened by it all. But we would like to talk about that whole issue. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, very sympathetic to those who say, just hands off, man. Leave it. It's history. And, you know, like, it's just, you know, they've been compared to ISIS. And no, I wouldn't, if people want to compare them to pirates, are you kidding me? I mean, just, you know, they deserve a punch in the nose or what have you. So I don't know if, I don't want to get too sidetracked with that whole business now, but it's a good point and something well worth talking about. So, but Mad Dog, anything you yourself have got to say with respect to this business of Robin Hood and the world of piracy out in the high seas, that whole the legacy and tradition, you know, and how it ties into this the band of merry men out of Sherwood Forest. Is that a little too much? Is that a stretch, or do you see the parallels and how one, of course, you know, it's a land-based operation, and the other, it's more like a naval type deal. The reason why so many had
missing limbs has more to do than the many wounds. Sure, to be honest, that's hard to say.
Resisting and rebellion against authority and giving to the poor. Taking from the rich and giving to the poor.
Well, to be honest with you, I think some people are pretty damn stupid. I was talking about earlier. The odds of, you know, certain things true is next to not existence. I think will come true. What you were saying, social justice warriors. No, the social justice whiners. That's the best name. My buddy gave a nickname for them.
Yeah, sure. Get a little closer to the phone there. We're losing you there. You're breaking up a little bit. But yeah, social justice whiners, absolutely. I consider myself a social justice warrior. When people hear that, maybe some don't know what to think, or some are a little confused, or it's kind of like they get this knee-jerk reaction. What I'm trying to say, though, really, if people hear me out, is I'm not the type of person who goes around tearing down monuments and trying to censor people or dictate to them what they can or cannot say. You don't think Robin Hood or Jesus Christ were social justice warriors? Of course they were. They were rebels, man. They fought against the corrupt establishment, pointed out the hypocrisies, and they did all they could to put up a resistance and create more consciousness and awareness as to the way things were and how a better world could come about.
Yeah, good people and bad people, just like any group.
Good pirates and bad pirates, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's see. We're almost reaching that time. I think we can carry things along here for a few more minutes. Pirate hideouts, pirate ranks and positions. Name calling, I think we already went over that a little bit. Merriment and misery. Measurement. Financials, famous pirates, basic pirate expressions. Let's just quickly do a few more of these things. A bit of a rundown. That was kind of the general theme here. So, at your service, I tell you true. Spread your sails. Let's get ready to go. We're taking off here, off into the wild blue yonder. So spread your sails. Keep a weathered eye lookout. That's, I guess, to those up in the crow's nest. You want to, when you head up there, be sure to keep a weathered eye lookout. Slimy bilge rat, you're fine stuff for the gallows. Oh, the gallows pole. Speaking of strumpets and whatnot, wenches, dirty little wenches. Another kind of put down would be, I've seen streetwalkers more womanly. You're holding a sword in your hand, threatening someone, you might say something like, you watch your step, or I'll cleave you to the brisket. We've already talked about the brig, the galley, and the bilge, of course, so to my sorrow, and there's an end to it. Good fortune, the fair dreams attend you, attend ye. So that's in parting. In meeting people, though, once again, at your service, definitely. It's basically what we've managed to come across here in the research that we've done. But bring up a few more of these word files here. Oh my God, the weaponry. How could you not? We have to address that, of course. Belaying pin, short wooden rod to which a ship's rigging is secured. Commonly improvised weapon aboard a sailing ship because they're everywhere. They're easily picked up, and they are the right size and weight to be used as clubs. Interesting improvised weapon type deal there. Blunderbuss. Love that one. Muzzle-loading gun with a distinctive flared muzzle, common among pirates and privateers. Typically loaded with a number of small lead balls. So, yeah, shots and powder. You always want your shots and powder. Purpose of the flared muzzle was to spread out the shot. Like a little shotgun kind of deal, I guess. Sounds like though experiments have shown no difference compared to guns with a non-flared muzzle. Buckle, we've already dressed that, of course, a small, often rounded shield that you held in one fist to protect against an opponent's sword. Could also be used to strike a blow to an opponent's face. Headshot with that little buckle there. I don't think that would be... I'd be a little... inflict a little bit of pain there for sure. Case shot. Collection of small projectiles put in cases to fire from a cannon. Canister shot. Also, grape shot. Same kind of deal, I guess. Cat of nine tails. I think we know what that was used for. Most of us here, for flogging. A whip with nine lashes used for flogging. A taste of the cat. Might refer to a full flogging. Chain shot. Chase guns, cutlass, gabion, grape shot, as mentioned once again. A hail shot. Powder chest. This is an interesting one. A powder chest was an exploding wooden box filled with scrap metals and gunpowder, usually secured to the side of a ship to thwart a boarding enemy. Make you think twice about wanting to get aboard somebody else's ship, a place where you were not necessarily invited. Spike to render a muzzle-loading gun useless by driving a spike into the vent. Well, that sounds pretty effective. Well, the pirate hideouts, of course, too. Every good pirate operation, you would have a hideout. Famous ones were, I'm not sure if the pronunciation is right here, Caribbean region, of course, Isle of Tortuga near Haiti, Port Royal, Jamaica. That's a pretty famous place. A big earthquake actually struck Port Royal in 1692. Some pretty serious devastation occurring, as one might imagine. I think, in fact, the city itself, the settlement, largely sunk. It was built on a really almost like a borderline quicksand, so like a beach type geography and environment. So whoever decided to put their houses up in that region, well, I guess maybe weren't thinking too clearly into the future. New Providence, Bahamas. I think there's a New Providence, Rhode Island as well, which maybe, Amanda, you know a little bit about. But yeah, I mean, they're the piracy quite active along the east coast of the American states there for quite some time, even to the point, I don't know if the Islamic raiders made it to the states. Jefferson, the president, Thomas Jefferson, that's, I guess, the origins of the first U.S. Navy. That's how they all came about, was on Jefferson's orders in order to resist and combat these Islamic raiders who were engaging in Hijra, folks. That's a key word if you want to talk about and look into Islam and kind of what it's all about. They're out to proselytize and convert the entire world to Islam. And until everyone becomes Muslim, there will be no peace. You know, they promote it as a religion of peace, but that's only once the entire world has converted. And even then, one has to wonder if that would be the case. Speaking of the Barbary Coast, that was quite a fascinating Northern Africa region, of course. Libya, Morocco, Algeria, and the like. They managed to actually take into slavery close to a million Europeans, from what I understand, over the course of, I'm just ballparking things here now, but between 50 to 75 years. Icelandic and Irish people were abducted, absconded. There's a big, I'm not sure if pirates even, too many pirates know that word, but I guess this one does. So absconded from their homes, property, and so forth. Many taken into slavery and whatnot. Pirate Cove in America, the Carolina coast, New England. Yes, a pirate haven in Africa, Madagascar, North Africa. Pirate hideouts in the Far East, Taiwan, South China, the West India. Another famous, speaking of East Asia, a very well-known female pirate. We spoke of Anne Bonny and Mary Read earlier within the context of discussing their relationship and adventures with Calico Jack Rackham. The Chinese pirate queen, really, was what she was. I don't have the name down exactly here. Xing Shi. The wife of Xing, something along those lines, very well known. You can easily find a lot of information regarding her and her exploits on YouTube. Amazing, though, just mind-boggling. The number of ships that she was able to raise, Many Chinese at that time spent their lives living out of junks, which is maybe where you get the word junkie from. Now that I think of it, junket. Heading off on a little holiday, are you? I'm on a bit of a junket. Okay. Junk, just for the garbage. Just throw that in the trash bin. That's off in the junkyard, I suppose. But, yeah, Xingxi. And, it was amazing, mind-boggling. Have, either of you heard, I guess, of this woman and her Red Fleet? Thousands of, well, it was a few hundred ships, I guess, altogether. And thousands, 40,000 people, pirates at her command. She was brutal. No quarter whatsoever. And her articles, ship's articles, that any of her people serving under her stepping out of line whatsoever, having their, you know, you get your ears lopped off or head, you'd be murdered. If you raped a woman, you were murdered. If you, had sex with another woman, had your head chopped off and she was sent to the bottom of the sea with weights tied to her legs and so on and so forth. So she eventually retired once the Chinese emperor recruited the assistance of, I believe it was the British and either Spanish or Portuguese Navy with the metal type, ships that they had, which were of course a little more modern styled and, of more, formidable technology. She decided at that point it was time to kind of throw in the towel and retire. Originally, she was a prostitute, so she kind of returned to that style of life, living the rest of her years out as a madame of sorts. Some believe head of a casino or something like that is one of the reports that I've come across. And maybe even after that point, as you might imagine, old habits die hard. Continued to oversee these underground smuggling operations. So this is all almost in the lead up really to the Opium Wars. So very, very important historical figure, most definitely, and someone that more people should probably know more about and take the time to look into. So on that note, just any last closing comments? I know we could have gone on for a lot longer time here today. There's just so much to talk about over the course of these many thousands of years that piracy has existed throughout the world. Once again, as long as there's been water on the earth and boats, piracy has existed. Even Caesar himself, apparently, as a child of 12, the Emperor Caesar of Rome was kidnapped by pirates, and they demanded 20 pieces of silver. He kind of made a bit of a mockery of things, and they at this time, I guess, knew that he was a person of some import, and he said, oh, hell, 20 pieces. We'll give you 50. 50, just take it. So I guess they got their 50 pieces of silver, set him free, and it wasn't long after that he managed to put together a group of ships, a small kind of minor armada of sorts, and track down the pirates who had held him captive, to which they did not meet an overly... Well, the ends that they met were not too, I think they ended up dying, basically, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, in what fashion, I have no idea, but yeah, they were what, I understand they were all killed. So, but any just last comments? Thank you, Emily. It looks like, hey, we do have Emily Anderson in the live streaming YouTube area, so that's great. Maybe you can join us in the after show. I'll share the link here with you that we've got to our peer group. It looks like you've been locked out of Skype is what I guess you're saying. So not a problem. This is a kind of one click deal. We can have as many as 8 people in this room on a peer. It's kind of where we like to hold our after show conversations. Let's just see. I'll share that with you. Queue up a few other things here if we can, including a bit of an outro. So any last thoughts though from either of you, Amanda or Mad Dog?
No, I can't think of any thoughts. I don't have any at this time.
Did you learn anything today or any pieces of information, trivia, facts that you hadn't been familiar with up until just, you know, happening to join us here today? Or
I would say some of the terminology for talking like a pirate, I guess you could say.
Do you remember anything, or are we going to have to quiz you again at some point in the future? In one ear and out the other?
maybe down the road.
Okay. Do you think you're going to maybe make a little more effort to explore the world of pop culture piracy, movies, books? We got some great audiobooks I could upload and share with folks, actually. There won't be a problem. I can do that through Google Plus, have it there for people's listening pleasure. Some really great stuff, including Colin Woodard's The Republic of Pirates. It's a classic and should really be the top of anyone's reading list if they're wanting to get a clearer picture of what occurred during the so-called golden age of piracy and the Caribbean region. Amanda, how about yourself? I'm not sure. She said she might have to scurry off. She had some sort of other commitment or appointment, so perhaps that's the case. But in the meantime, yeah, just going to share the link here with folks in the YouTube live chat area. Thank you to everyone who joined us today. Hopefully you've managed to get a clearer picture of what life was like as a pirate, some of the language they used, some of the, a little more regarding pop culture and whatnot. Do we have Captain Sinclair? Okay, he's been over there the whole time. Captain Sinclair's over on the other side of the scurvy dog. Looks like he's making his way over here. Just hang on a second.
Ah, great show that, Jeff. Hey, well done, my boy. Quite impressive. Really rose to the challenge there. It's also wonderful to see some people joining you here on the show through Skype. But Mad Dog and Amanda... Excellent. Mad Dog, you're going to have to do what you can to brush up on things there. What do you say, boy?
I agree.
Ah, very good. That's a spirit. That's what we like to hear. So, we'll take things from there as far as working out what role it is exactly you're able to play here on the Robin Hood. In the meantime, though, Jaffe, keep up the good work. It's great that we managed to put this show together here after missing last year.
I couldn't agree more, actually, Captain. Yeah, so... was pretty happy with the way things went.
So we're going out to Rogues Gallery?
That's kind of the plan.
All right, well, good. The grog in the house for everyone. Free round.
Oh, thanks, Captain. It's really generous of you. So, wow. He seems in pretty good spirits tonight. That's great to see. So, all right, folks. Well, and let's not forget, we've got Chance from the Interverse podcast coming up next week. Looking forward to that, of course. Hopefully some really great synergy coming out of that conversation. He's pretty active over on minds.com, as people will know, anyone that's following that activity over there. There's all kinds of great quality content via him, as well as the Lost Arts Radio Project. Once again, they seem to pretty much be putting fresh content out almost on a daily basis. So, and that'll of course round off our September schedule. We got a lot of great stuff coming up in October, including, just to cap things off at the end of the month, a Halloween roundtable. On that note, though, once again, it's been great doing this show and having the opportunity, just looking for something to close things off with here, and I think this makes the most sense. To my sorrow, there's an end of it. A good fortune, a fair dreams attend ye. Aye now, thar we be. Having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, knob, and dial, by all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time once again to drop anchor inside the bay and draw an end to another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Don't forget, if you're looking for a little more free-flowing action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up next in either Google Hangouts or Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past year and a half plus, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. presently commanding a whole 6 big ones per episode, our unimpeachable longshoreman math skills. Tell us we're on course this year to set aside around $150 in charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Be sure to join us again same time next week. Amazingly, we're now booked solid until December, with a whole wide range of colorful guests and show topics, along with what's bound to be a few big surprises. So be sure to drop by WPRPN.com's feature interview area and check out what we've got on tap for the last few months of 2017. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN.com network subdomain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, social media personalities, or pretty much just any landlubber looking to boost their online visibility, presence, and reach. Basic accounts can be launched for only $15 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of the people who really need it most. Community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!